Let me extend a warm welcome all of our friends here in Chanhassen, our campus at Bush Lake, West Tonka, many, I'm sure, as well, joining us online. And so glad that you're here for another Sunday in our relationship series. We started this about 3 weeks ago now, so this is the third week in the series. It's a 7-week series in its entirety. And the heart behind this series is to say, we've got relationships in our lives all around us. In fact, I think they surround us in a way. And as we think about those relationships, there's a realization that we want them to be healthy. We want them to grow. We want them to flourish rather than languish. And there are tools, maybe even habits, which is the topic of today, that we can start to cultivate that can actually make a difference in how those relationships show up in our life. And so through the course of this series, the first week, I had a chance to talk to you about communication and how communication is about understanding and being understood. And that if we can start to communicate with one another below the line in our lives, above the line communication is things like we talk about facts or opinions or small talk. Below the line is where we can get into feelings and needs and desires and beliefs and values. If we can start to get there in some of our key relationships, we'll start to grow. We'll start to be knit together. And what are the things that can help us develop healthy communication? How we listen, how we ask questions. That was week one. Last week, Pastor Joel was with us and talked about conflict. This idea that every relationship will kind of have its ups and downs, and there'll be some moments where you disagree or where there's disappointment or discouragement in a relationship. And when those moments happen, what is it that we can do to address those conflicts in ways that honor God, that are direct versus indirect, that are moving toward resolution and reconciliation rather than just keeping things at the status quo? And he shared 7 ways that we can consider healthy conflict management. And this week, we're going to talk about, broadly speaking, habits, that a habit, which is a behavior that is repeated regularly, if we can introduce good habits into our relationships and into our lives, that could be one of the best paths to take in order to see our relationships continue to get healthier and healthier. And in fact, here at Westwood, we've been inviting you into a year-long habit. Some of you who might be new may not have seen this journal before, but this is called our Tove Journal. And every year at the beginning of the year, we pick a word that's going to kind of anchor and inform what our year is going to look like, what we anticipate God's going to do in our year together as a church. And this year, Pastor Joel felt like the word for the year from God is Tove, which is a Hebrew word that means good or goodness. And the practice that we've had this year is we've gifted a journal to every single person in our church. And so I just want to maybe speak to those who are maybe newer to our faith community, whether here at Chanhassen, Bush Lake, West Tonka, even online. If you have not received a Tove journal yet, we would love to put one in your hands. And the reason we have a journal is because the Tove rhythm of this year, or the Tove habit for this year, is we're going to do our best to look out at the world that's around us, and we're going to notice the good things that are happening, because God is a God of goodness. He's a Tove God. And oftentimes, our mind and our maybe spirit gets inundated with all the not-so-good things that are happening. Whether we watch the news, or we scroll through social media, or we sit down with family or friends, and all of a sudden it's the not-so-good things that rise to the surface. But if we took the habit of looking for the good things that are around us, what would that do to our year? Well, what would that do to the way that we see the world? And so the rhythm has been, we're going to see it with our eyes. We're going to receive the goodness that God has for us in our hearts. Then you're going to take this journal, and you're going to open it, and you're going to record the good thing that you see. Could even just be one sentence for the day. And the goal and the hope and the dream is that by the end of the year, or maybe by the end of a few years, you'll have what Pastor Joel calls a string of pearls of goodness that you can look back on and say, wow, God's here, and he's doing good. God is doing good all the time. And all the time, God is doing good. And when we see that and receive that and record that, we're probably going to be very likely to share that, open our hands and say, to the world and to the people around us, there is good. And a small, simple habit, like writing one sentence a day, can have a profound impact on how this year goes. Truly, how our life can go when we decide to realize that goodness is all around us. We just have to have the discipline and the intentionality, the regular behavior, repeated regular behavior of seeing it and acknowledging it. And so habits have that kind of impact in our life. Then we have to believe that if we introduce habits, good, healthy habits, into our relationships, that in the same way, that could be the pathway for us to experience not the languishing that sometimes we fall into in relationships, but the flourishing that God has for us. And so as we go through this message today, I kind of want you to see it unfold in maybe three chapters. And in the first chapter, I want to talk about this idea that tiny habits, small habits, are actually more effective than trying to introduce larger habits into your life. Then I kind of want to look at the greatest habit that you could introduce into your life today. Okay, the greatest thing that you could say yes to. And then finally, I'm going to zero in a little bit more on relationships. And we're going to talk about what are some healthy habits that you can start to introduce into a marriage relationship or a dating or a workplace or a friendship or a family relationship to, again, try to turn the tide and bring it to a place over time where you feel the sense of, wow, this feels whole. This feels good. This feels right. So first on tiny habits, the power of tiny habits. Luke 16:10 says this, this is Jesus, whoever can be trusted in the little things can be trusted in the big things. When I was an intern at a church in Washington, D.C., the pastor would come up to the group of interns. You know, and part of the reason we were in this internship program is to kind of help us with the foundation. You know, what are the building blocks as you think about ministry and growing as a leader? And it was just repeated to me over and over again, and it just has stuck with me. And the invitation was for me to do this, to do the little things like they're big things. And then the big things will take care of themselves. You know, it's this idea that we should not discount small beginnings. This idea that if we start with something that doesn't appear to be grandiose, that over time, that's what actually will make a difference. I don't know if any of you have read James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, but it's the same kind of idea that if you can stack tiny habits on top of one another over time, that actually gives you the greatest chance of moving something or a relationship to a place where it's not so good, to a place where you're feeling the goodness of what could happen. This is the idea of compound interest, right? Some people call it the eighth wonder of the world. And if some of you have, you know, savings accounts or retirement accounts, you know, you probably realize, oh yeah, that's wondrous how that thing can just keep growing sometimes. You know, I was first introduced to this idea of compounding effect or compounding interest in my fifth grade math class. For some reason, just this very impressionable memory for me. And I remember my fifth grade teacher came up and he said, all right, I've got a hypothetical scenario for you guys. And you've got one of two options. You choose what you think is best. And on the first option today, right now, I'm going to give you $1 million. You know, and the class kind of perks up like, oh, okay, this is a good question. I wonder what's next. And he goes, the other option is I give you a penny. But that penny will double every day. And after 30 days, you can have all that's there. And, you know, here we are, fifth grade kids, and, you know, we don't really realize that, you know, this is supposed to trick us. We think, this teacher doesn't know what he's talking about. Of course we're going to take the $1 million. And, you know, most of the class raised their hand and said, yep, we're going to take the million right out of the gate. And he said, alrighty, now we're going to do the math. And I realized, oh, yeah, we are in math class, so I guess we'll do the math. And so on a sheet of paper, it was numbered 1 through 30. And then, you know, we had a calculator, and we just had to keep doubling 0.01. to 0.02, to 0.04, 16, 32, you know, 64, 128, et cetera, and we went all the way down, and 30 days later, it was over $2 million. And it was just this very impressionable memory for me as a young person where I'm like, that is the eighth wonder of the world. Wow, you could just do that? Over 30 days, one penny can become something even greater than $1 million right out of the gate. It's this power of tiny habits. If you can keep stacking them on top of one another, the compounding effect is significant change. And this idea of tiny habits, James Clear talks about it in his book, but it's actually pretty well documented in the relationship sphere as well, particularly around those that are studying relationships. So there's a longtime institute called the Gottman Institute, founded by John Gottman. It's been around for over 50 years. And they've been studying relationships. In fact, one of the key studies that they did is they selected, I think it was close to 100 different couples, and they actually outfitted their homes with tiny cameras to watch all of their movements. And they were this kind of, you know, intent on trying to figure out what are the habits or what are the behaviors that move, that distinguish a relationship from one that's strong and thriving to one that's maybe languishing or not doing so well. And here's something that, you know, kind of they realized that successful long-term relationships are created through small words, small gestures, and small acts. Now, one of the most profound findings of this research project, the one particularly where they're watching these couples, is they said that the number one habit that they noticed in couples that was the highest predictor of marital satisfaction and success is what they call turning. And how this works is they were watching these couples, and they were watching one individual bid for the attention of another. Could be with a, hey, or a, can I get your attention? Or they want to start a conversation, you know, some sort of bid for interaction. And the couples that they studied that had the greatest success of longevity, when those bids came out, the other's partner would turn. The simple gesture of turning toward the person who's bidding for our affection, for our connection, for our attention, they reduced it all down to that was the number one predictor of marital success. And the relationships that had the toughest time working through challenges, the ones that kind of got stuck in ditches when things didn't go well, they noticed that when those bids for connection came forward, the other partner didn't acknowledge. They didn't turn toward. They didn't reciprocate the bid with their own sense of, I want to be part of this relationship. I want to try to move it forward. I mean, just a fascinating development and a fascinating insight, don't you think, that something as powerful as our neck doing that actually makes an impact in the relationship and in the potential of a relationship to grow and to thrive. Someone who's a part of the Gottman Institute, her name's Laura Silverstein. She says this: the fastest and easiest way to reach your relationship goals is to turn them into bite-sized habits that you can implement every single day. You know, sometimes when I think about the relationships that are in my life, you might be thinking the same thing. I look and consider where I have that relationship now and where I wish it could be, where I hope it could be. Some of you might be thinking about that right now. It could be a friendship that you have. It could be a family member, a relative. It might even be a partner or a spouse. And you're maybe acknowledging that the state of that relationship is not in the place you'd hope it would be. Even as I talk about this idea of bidding for each other's attention and turning around, you may just say, boy, I don't do that as much as I would want to. Or the person that I'm with may not be doing that as much as I would hope. And it can just feel like this long road to get to a place where it's good again, where it feels like we're teammates together. Can I just encourage you? The road sometimes can and feel very long in front of you to bring a relationship to a place that our relationships will drift. Pastor Joel talked about that last Sunday, that they begin with some disappointments, and then it can lead to discouragement, and then to distance, and then to detachment. And our relationships, if we aren't intentional, can just have that effect of drifting to places that we may not always want them to be. And the path back can feel long or uncertain or maybe even insurmountable. But 50 years of research, the wisdom of the Bible, well, if we're entrusted with little, we can be entrusted with much. The fastest and easiest way to reach your goal is to turn it into something bite-sized, something small, something actionable that you can do day in and day out. Something as simple as turning your neck can begin the road to a relationship that heals and honors God. And so happy couples really do make this practice of inserting these small moments of positivity into their relationship on a regular basis. And that will allow us not to feel as overwhelmed by the things that, or by the reality that sometimes we do have some long roads ahead of us. And sticking to it over time, the compounding impact of that is we will make change and we will see goodness happen. So that's this idea of tiny habits, that there's real power in focusing there rather than trying to take one big step at one time. So that's maybe the first chapter of this message. The second chapter is, what's the best habit that you could start? And unsurprisingly, you're going to hear from me this encouragement to say, if you want any of that to happen in your life, start with God. The greatest habit, truly, that you could start to begin and start to cultivate, even in a small way, is to say, can I be with God more? Can I start with God? Start every day with God's presence and God's goodness. I want to show you a picture here of a lake. This is a iced over Crystal Bay. And, you know, water is one of the most, I don't know if you feel this, but for me, it's just one of the most peaceful kind of contours of our life here in Minnesota. We're called the land of 10,000 lakes. And, you know, we actually named our son Laker as a homage to, like, this is where you're from, kid. You're from a land where there's lakes all over and you're not going to forget it. You know, so we had the privilege of moving to Chanhassen last spring. And we live pretty close to Lake Riley. So we're right on the Chan-Eden Prairie border. And we're close enough where, you know, if I squint my eyes really good, and when, you know, it's winter and not all the trees have leaves, like, I could see the lake. And it's one of those sweet moments of living here on this side of town where you're like, wow, that just brings me peace. It starts to calm me down. I can actually zero in. If I stare hard enough and look, and all the noise of these kids around me, it finally drowns out a little bit. That feels good. And some days it gets so much that I'm just going to take a walk down to the lake and stand on the beach and realize, wow, God is good. It's one of the things that made my Tove journal, is the ability to just look out and see the water. And you know, water is one of the most oft-used metaphors in the Bible, one of the most powerful images that God brings forward into our minds. Because I think it centers us to say, we need you. We need you, God, in our relationships, in our lives, as we go through things. And Jesus, in fact, even calls himself the living water. And so a question that, you know, maybe I could offer to you is, what water are you drinking? You know, it's a question that Jesus actually talked to a woman about. It's the story of the woman on the well in John 4. And he shows up at this well, and it's a pretty, you know, kind of unprecedented situation for a Jewish rabbi to be talking to a Samaritan woman. There were people groups that just did not interact much with one another. And she comes to this well every day to get water. And Jesus asks her if he could have a drink, and she's like, well, I guess I could help you. And he goes, you know, I've got water that will make you never thirst. And the way she hears that is she goes, whoa. Are you saying that I never have to come back to this well? That would be amazing. Like, tell me, where can I find this water? And Jesus begins to tell her the truth of what he's really trying to get her to know. In fact, let me show you this in John 4:11. Where can you get this living water? This is the woman's asking Jesus. And then Jesus answered, everyone who drinks of this water, he's speaking of the water from the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What water are you drinking? You know, what is the first things that you start to put into your soul, into your mind, into your body as you begin each day? And I think the invitation of the scriptures is to say, Jesus is offering to you and to me in this very moment living water, water that will replenish, water that will be like a spring that keeps welling up, water that will quench every bit of thirst that we have. And it's not to suggest that we'll never have thirst. You know, there's disappointment in life. There's things that happen in our life that we realize that we don't have it all together. But if we can have the power of God at work in us and through us, it will give us the strength, the resilience, the grace even, to walk through believing that the habits that we want to start have a source ultimately. And one of the best habits that we can begin is to say, God, can I give you my first in my day and in my life? You know, many of you may practice this through maybe doing a daily devotional. Some of you practice this by even just saying a little prayer, a simple prayer at the beginning of each day. You know, that's been an important habit for me to start to be more intentional around. I don't know if you're like me, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm not the first to wake up. Usually my wife is. And then I'm usually the second one to wake up. And as soon as I wake up, for some reason, I realize that my mind goes to, okay, what do I have for today? What meetings do I have? What errands do I need to complete? What things have I left undone? What relationships are not feeling like they should? You know, all those things start to almost flood my mind, using this metaphor of water again. And I've had to train myself to say, I know my mind is just going to go in a million different directions, but can I at least let my mouth start to say something that could turn the tide on where my mind starts to go? And I've tried this habit, and I'm not, you know, I don't bet 1,000 at this, but I've tried this habit of every single day, can the first words that come out of my mouth say, God, will you be with me today? God, will you help center my mind on the things of you? God, can the first thing that I drink be living water today so that I can have a spring that wells up in me for the day that's ahead? You know, the scriptures say that each day we have a new bucket of mercy that God gives to us, because we're going to experience a lot. And we don't have to rely on yesterday's bucket or tomorrow's bucket. The bucket of mercy that God has for you and for me is enough for today. The question is, will we drink from it? Or will we, you know, look to quench our thirst in a number of other places? And so my invitation for you is to consider that if you're going to start any habit today to see your relationships thrive, to see your life move into a place that honors God, start with living water. Start with taking a cup of water from Jesus himself, who gives to us peace and grace and goodness. And one of the best ways that we can accept that water is to acknowledge him with a prayer, with a scripture, with something that just says, Lord, you are mine and I am yours. And I want to be with you and for you. Psalm 118:24, it says this, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Every day, you've got an opportunity to start your day with God, the greatest habit that you could enter into to give you the strength to see your relationships grow. You know, I was going to go to the next point, but there's something about starting with the Lord that I just want to reinforce. You know, when I moved to the United States when I was 9 years old or so, it was a very, you know, difficult journey for me, just trying to go to a new place. And my grandmother, who was the kind of matriarch, spiritual matriarch of our family, she would always pray with me every night after, or every night before I would go to bed. And I just remember missing that so much, moving to a new country. And I kind of, as a nine-year-old kid, I had the boldness to say to my mom and dad, could we start that habit together? Because of how impactful that was for me as a young kid. And my mom and dad didn't even realize that that's what I was craving and wanting. And so I just want you to, for those of you who are parents in the room, I think this is why my heart just stopped there. For those of you who are parents in the room and you're entrusted to the beautiful lives of kids that are around you, one of the things that you can do is integrate that practice with your kids, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the evening, whether it's at dinner time, just allowing your kids to see that God is at work in you and that you acknowledge his goodness. I just want to give you that encouragement that that's one of the best ways you could instill in your kids the wonder of what it means to start with God in their lives. Okay, so we've talked about tiny habits. We've talked about the greatest habit. Now I want to give you some good habits that you can start to integrate into your relationships. And before I get there, just a few best practices, if you will, just to help. Some of this is recap, but just a few best practices as we consider adding some good habits into our lives. And the first is, think about it as adding a new habit rather than fixing an old pattern. And the reason I raise this is because if you're human, which I think everyone here is, you might be defensive when you realize that there's something you need to grow in, particularly if someone points it out to you. And so to curtail this sense of getting stuck in, I don't want to change. I don't need to change. I don't think it's my fault. You know, I've done enough marriage connection and encouragement to couples, and I realize that no matter how thin the pancake is in a relationship, there's always two sides. It's never a 100-0 proposition. There's always somebody that has one take on what happened, someone who has another take on what's happened. And if we allow ourselves to own some of the things that we're contributing to a relationship, we're going to have a greater chance to grow. But sometimes, even in the midst of that, if we can just think about growth as adding something new into the mix versus trying to fix all the things that we know we bring into a relationship, it can start to push us in a way where we can see health and goodness. Second thing that I want you to, these are like best practices when you start thinking about adding habits to your life. Keep in mind that habits are the antidote to roommate syndrome. So, we talk about drift in relationships. And sometimes marriage relationships in particular drift through disappointment and discouragement to the reality that you live in the same house and you pay the same bills and you have the same kids and you work through kind of the same routines. But you're more roommates than teammates. And what a habit can do, remember I talked about sometimes the road seems pretty far, how do I get there? A habit can start to get you on the path to be the antidote to that and find connection and closeness together. Third best practice when you're thinking about a habit is, again, to keep it short and sweet. Allow that effect of compounding interest to be on your side. And then the fourth thing, I think this is just important to acknowledge, expect things to get harder in some of the heated moments in a relationship. You know, we love to think that growth is a straight line up and to the right. You know, I talked about compound interest and, you know, investment funds. Many of you who have those realize it does not go up and to the right in a straight line. It goes up and down and all around sometimes. And the same is true in relationships and in our lives. And even as we try to introduce good habits, there's going to be valleys and there's going to be mountaintops. And in those heated moments or hard moments, we just have to realize that if we keep at it, if we keep building into this compounding effect of good habits, it will bring our relationships to a place where they'll be healthy and strong. So as I close, I want to give you three simple habits that you can start to introduce into your relationships, particularly marriage relationships, dating relationships, but I think there's application here in a number of different relationships as well, that can again help turn the tide as you start to drink the living water of Jesus. So the first is this, establish a ritual of greeting. First thing that Pastor Joel told me when I became a pastor here at Westwood is he sat me down and he said, Clinton, your number one ministry is to your family. And the number one thing that you can do to keep that ministry to your wife and kids in particular strong is to establish a ritual of greeting, which he says is as simple as this. Every day before you leave and every night when you come home, look your wife in the eye and say, I love you. And he said, don't as you're walking out the door, I love you, babe, see you later. Or when you come in, you know, put all your stuff down. Hey, great to see you. He said, the intentionality, 2 seconds. Even, I mean, feel this season, I'm staring right down the camera, look you in the eye, you know, and say, I love you. Like that ritual of greeting makes a world of difference in the bids for connection that we have with and for one another. So particularly if you're in a marriage or dating relationship, consider adding a ritual of greeting. Second one is to have meaningful conversation. Have a habit of meaningful conversation. I talked about this in our communication message about having an above the line and below the line conversation on a regular basis. Above the line, 5 to 15 minutes every day where you talk facts, opinions. Did we pay the bills? Are the kids doing okay? Is the dog outside still? You know, like, we gotta get her back in here. You know, make sure you're on the same page above the line so you have the margin for about an hour or two every week to get below the line. Meaningful conversation. Talking about thoughts and feelings and values and beliefs. And then the third habit is to have a habit of appreciating one another. This is, you know, this is true if you're in a workplace relationship. Just to say thank you specifically to the people who are working around you and with you for the things that they're doing, how much that affirms and encourages people. Think about that in a marriage relationship. Even the smallest things that we notice that people do, and with specificity, we call it out. That works with our kids. When our kids do things that I'm like, I'm so glad that you're sharing today. This is the first day in 30 days that you've shared with your sibling. Thank you. You know, even just that allows you to say, these are the good things that can allow our relationships to grow and to become flourishing rather than languishing. So a couple of resources. I've shared this with you before. Pastor Joel has as well. A couple things that'll just keep you in the spirit of having good habits. One is we've got that date night coming up March 20th. I'd love for you to come. I say couples who laugh together last together, because laughter opens up our soul, can allow truth to seep in a little bit deeper sometimes because we let our guard down when we laugh. So come and be part of that with Ted Cunningham. We've got this text conversation starter. 750 of you have already signed up for this. Every Thursday, we send you a question, a below-the-line question that you can ask to a partner or a spouse or a close relationship in your life to get below the line and cultivate that habit of having good conversation with those around you. And then all of this you can find on our website, on our resources page. And then, you know, one of the things I've learned a lot about good relationships is that nobody has all the ideas, but everybody has some idea. So you might have some habits that you've cultivated in your relationship, and we actually kind of want to crowdsource some ideas here, okay? And we're going to post this on our website later on this week. But if you've got a habit that you've introduced into your marriage that has really made a difference, can you text it? You can just, and all you have to do is just say, this is the habit. You can just write it out to 952-522-3400. I'm just super curious as we kind of open up the floodgates and hear from all of us here at Cheyenne Online, Bush Lake, West Tonka, all of our friends, we might start to generate even more perspective on how we grow and have better relationships. And I said, you know, the greatest habit that you can start is to be with God. And as we close our service today, we're going to come to this table and be with him in his presence, allowing us to drink anew from his living water so we can have the strength and the grace to move forward in our relationships. So let me offer a prayer for you, and then we'll step into communion with one another. So Lord, you see, our hearts are ready to receive from you. And I pray, Lord, that you would meet us anew, that the living water of Jesus Christ would wash over our very souls as we remember you, as we partake in this cup and in this bread, tangible examples that you are for us and not against us, and that you, more than anyone, want to see our relationships thrive for your honor and for your glory. We welcome you now in Jesus' name. Amen.